¿Estás pensando en tus vacaciones soñadas este verano temiendo el costo? Con iBora recibes reembolsos en todas tus compras. Así puedes tomar más tiempo creando recuerdos este verano y menos tiempo soñando hacerlos. Ahora mismo, iBora ofrece a nuestros oyentes $5 solo por probar iBora usando el código La Música cuando te registras. Simplemente ve a App Store o Google Play Store y descarga la aplicación gratuita de iBora para empezar a ganar reembolsos. Usa el código La Música. Eso es IBOTTA en Google Play o App Store y usa el código La Música.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
But now we go to talk about Milwaukee and the events there, because Donald Trump was greeted in Milwaukee with a standing ovation as he made his first appearance following that failed assassination attempt, and he announced his pick of J.D. Vance as his running mate. J.D. Vance, who once said this:
"I'm a never Trump guy. I never liked him."
But I suppose we should look a little bit deeper, as the Wall Street Journal did. They took a deeper dive into the political career of the Ohio senator.
When Vance launched his campaign for the Senate in 2021, his stance on Trump underwent a big shift.
"I obviously didn't fully appreciate the president's appeal in 2016.
Yeah, he said some bad things about me, but that was before he knew me, and then he fell in love.
He even described himself to me in one interview as a flip-flop flipper on Trump, saying that he had similar policy views but was against Trump as a person until he realized that Trump was advocating for the policies that he supported.
While running for Senate, Vance was one of several pro-Trump candidates in the primary. But in one debate, Vance was the lone candidate to oppose a NATO-enforced no-fly zone over Ukraine. And that caught the eye of Trump's inner circle.
What a no-fly zone, it sounds nice, like we ask the Russians not to fly planes over Ukraine. What it means in practice is American Marine Corps pilots, Air Force pilots, and Navy pilots getting in dogfights with Russian jets, which the problem with that is it's not in our vital national interest."
That impressed Donald Trump Jr., and he began advocating for Vance's candidacy.
As Republicans unite around the Trump-Vance ticket after the July 13th attack, Democrats remain in disarray following President Biden's disastrous debate performance in June.
Well, now I'm joined by Jennifer Ewing, spokesperson for Republicans Overseas. Jennifer, good morning and welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Are you very pleased with this ticket now?
I am. And full disclosure, I read J.D. Vance's book before Trump was even elected, and he was my top pick. So yes, personally, I am very pleased.
Now, his book, Hillbilly Elegy, and the movie that was made from the book depicts his own struggles, not an easy childhood, but he went on to great success.
You're exactly right. And while I think the book was fabulous, I didn't really rate the movie. So if anybody who hasn't seen it, I encourage them to read the book. But yeah, I mean, really, he's the American dream. He was born in a very poor rural area that had been decimated by the fact a lot of manufacturing had been moved overseas. There was a lot of violence and addiction in his family, and he ended up being raised by his grandparents and then, you know, went on to join the Marines and then went on to Yale Law School, went to a venture capital firm, and then became the senator for Ohio and now the vice president pick. So, yeah.
Now, it's well known that he was not a fan of Donald Trump. In fact, he said he's a never Trumper. That never, obviously, he's reversed on that. But he's been, you know, he was quite critical. He said at one point, "I go back and forth between thinking Trump is a cynical asshole like Nixon, who wouldn't be that bad, or that he's America's Hitler." He wrote that to an associate. So he's come a long way.
Absolutely. And I would, you know, and he's admitted that he was wrong and that he didn't like the bombastic personality, but he did indeed like the policies. And I think you probably wouldn't find many Republicans who in 2016 were fans of Donald Trump. Don't forget, he was a former reality television star. He was, you know, acted very unpresidential at times. But what happened is his policies were good. His policies worked. And that's how a lot of people, not just J.D. Vance, but a lot of people came around to say, this is actually the right guy at the right time. So now, it's a natural progression, and good for him for keeping an open mind and thinking critically rather than just, you know.
He's definitely at one with Donald Trump on so many things. He was also an outspoken critic of America's policy on Ukraine. He would be one of those who would favor a negotiation with Vladimir Putin rather than staunchly standing by Vladimir Zelensky.
Absolutely. And that is, you'll see, especially with the younger generation in America, we don't want to be involved in these forever wars. One of the reasons that J.D. Vance actually pointed out, it's not just this last $60 billion that we gave to Ukraine. It's the fact that we've moved so much manufacturing overseas. We do not and cannot produce enough munitions to supply Ukraine. I believe at the last count, United States was producing something like 30,000 of these certain bullets a month, and Russia was producing 25,000 a day. So again, you know, I think he's been in the military. He was courageous, served his country, but he also has the wisdom to know when, you know, it's time to call for peace. There's hundreds of thousands of lives that have been lost. And, you know, he's not for this anymore. And he speaks for a new generation of Americans.
Now, Vladimir Zelensky has, he was asked about Vance in advance of his nomination as VP pick by Donald Trump and the lack of support for Ukraine. And he said he doesn't understand. Let him come over here. Let him visit the front line. Let him talk to people. Let him understand what's going on, because quite clearly he doesn't really understand what's going on in Ukraine. Doesn't understand.
Mike Tirico here with some of the 2024 Team USA athletes. What's your message for the team of tomorrow?
To young athletes, never forget why you started doing it in the first place. You have to pursue something that you're passionate about.
Win, lose, or draw, I'm always going to be the one having a smile on my face.
Finding joy in why you do it keeps you doing it.
Be authentic, be you, and have fun.
Joy is powering Team USA during the Olympic and Paralympic Games. Comcast is proud to be bringing that inspiration home for the team of tomorrow.
¿Estás pensando en tus vacaciones soñadas este verano temiendo el costo? Con Ibora recibes reembolsos en todas tus compras. Así puedes tomar más tiempo creando recuerdos este verano y menos tiempo soñando hacerlos. Ahora mismo, Ibora ofrece a nuestros oyentes $5 solo por probar Ibora usando el código La Música cuando te registras. Simplemente ve a App Store o Google Play Store y descarga la aplicación gratuita de Ibora para empezar a ganar reembolsos. Usa el código La Música. Eso es Ibotta en Google Play o App Store y usa el código La Música.
On the stakes.
Well, look, with all due respect, this has been going on for 2.5 years. America, we are, you know, as much as we want to be peace through strength, we've got a lot of issues of our own. We have an open southern border that is causing a lot of problems. We've got a deficit that is out of control. We have building tensions in the Indo-Pacific. So I think, you know, Trump, J.D. Vance are both on the record as saying the Europeans really need to step up and look, take more responsibility for their own security, because as much as we are allies, you know, this is not going to be another forever war. Mm.
Now, he was critical at one point of Donald Trump's immigration message, saying it's a lot more complicated than Donald Trump thinks. He says, Donald Trump says, if we had less immigration, we'd have better jobs. And he says, it's a lot more complicated than that. It's Trump definitely simplifies these problems. I don't think if you build a great Mexican wall, all of a sudden, all these steel mill jobs are going to come back into southern Ohio. But it gives people something to latch on to.
Well, look, I mean, I think if you look at whether we have like a de-Sinification, in which case places like the United States, Mexico, Vietnam, Indonesia will benefit from that. One thing we learned over the last several years, whether it's during these, you know, what I just referenced, the munitions, or indeed during the COVID period with medicines, with all sorts of, you know, things we needed, we need to start producing and manufacturing more things in the United States. And of course, that doesn't happen overnight, but it will need to happen.
Now, we saw the falling out at the end of Donald Trump's tenure, the falling out with Vice President Pence, to the point that Donald Trump seemed to approve of the notion of erecting a gallows for his vice president. Pence, I think, probably suffered from a charisma deficit. J.D. Vance does not suffer from that. Is he likely to be competing for the limelight with Donald Trump?
Not at all. He won't. As a matter of fact, one of the things that Trump was sure to choose in his running mate was somebody that would be incredibly loyal. And, you know, Trump only has one more term to serve if he indeed gets elected. So that's 4 years. So, no, I can't see any way in which a freshman senator who's not even 40 years old, by the way, is going to try to usurp Donald Trump. I think he's going to back his policies. They're lined up on a lot. They differ on a few things. J.D. Vance is, you know, a converted Catholic. He's definitely more to the social conservative side, shall we say, than Trump, who is a moderate, if you look at the last GOP platform. So, no, Trump will be leading the way on these policies. But, yeah, I mean, look, J.D. Vance, American dream, and very, very charismatic, an excellent debater, has a very good way. I encourage anybody that is critical about, you know, the U.S. sort of view on Ukraine, I encourage anyone to listen to him and really look into what he's saying rather than just sort of the same news we've been given by the mainstream media.
Now, you are based in the U.K.?
I am, yes.
So you've watched the ascendancy of the Labour Party into power. The Parliament will have a state opening tomorrow and there'll be the King's speech and all the rest of it. Something that might disturb people living in Britain, be they expats or be they natives, was this comment about the bomb and Britain. Have a listen.
I was talking about, you know, what is the first truly Islamist country that will get a nuclear weapon? And we were like, maybe it's Iran. You know, maybe Pakistan already kind of counts. And then we sort of finally decided maybe it's actually the UK since Labour just took over.
How to win friends and influence people by that sort of comment. It's not particularly erudite, although it might be deemed as witty.
Well, I don't actually think it's, well, I guess he was trying to be witty. That was at NatCon last week in Washington, D.C. You know, we have NatCon here too in London and indeed in Brussels. I think his point was, and God, I'll tell you, to be honest, the way the media portrays the United Kingdom, the U.S. media, shall we say, or international media, portrays the United Kingdom is, especially since October 7th, it looks like it's all kicked off and it's crazy and there's Palestinian flags everywhere. So I think that's part of probably what his comment was saying.
But the notion that Britain is an Islamist state seems a bit off the mark.
Well, yeah, I mean, as you started saying, he was trying to be witty, so... Yeah, I mean, now, Britain is not an Islamic state by any means.
Now, the Republican Party is definitely in a buoyant mood after Donald Trump's narrow escape. But one thing that kind of bothered me a bit was Donald Trump, when he said it was God's interference, if you like, that saved his life. And I thought, rather insensitive to the family of Cory Comparatore, where God didn't choose to intervene.
Yeah, you know, I do believe it was divine intervention. If you look, he turned his head, it was 1 milliliter. I don't think that Trump saying that was saying he was a more important person than Corey. And by the way, if you are a believer, which both President Trump and Corey was a man of faith, we know that from his past, from what his daughter said, then perhaps he's in a better place. I don't know. I really hadn't thought about it being a competition between Trump.
Yeah, but God, obviously, in your view, had to choose. The bullet was going somewhere and didn't go into Donald Trump through divine intervention, but it happened to get poor Corey.
Well, we can't always understand, you know, God's ways. So I did not. Actually, you're the first person to bring this up. So I've not even thought of that. And I know his family has not thought of that at all either.
Now, the other
Donald
thing is,
Trump will be attending the funeral. I know that.
Yeah.
So,
the other thing is the question of the shooter, Thomas Matthew Crooks,
sure.
Who is a registered Republican. And much has been made of the fact that Republicans are saying it doesn't matter that he was a registered Republican. But had he been a registered Democrat, I suspect Republicans would have said, yes, it really does matter.
I don't think it really matters one way or the other. You know, this man obviously had very ill intentions and, you know, tried to assassinate a former and possible future president of the United States. So who cares how you're registered? And we all know, even from this country and this last election, people vote tactically. So if you want to dig into the nuances of his registration, yes, he registered years ago. Pennsylvania, where Philadelphia is, has a closed primary. So oftentimes you will see people register for the opposite party to vote against someone. We don't know if he did that or not. We do know he made a political donation to Act Blue, which was a very progressive left-leaning organization. But no, we don't know the motives of this guy at all, other than he was trying to kill President Trump.
His classmates describe him as an arch-conservative. Not a liberal at all.
Well, I mean, look, does that matter? Does that make it okay?
No, what I'm saying is that this does not come from the left. The man who tried to kill Donald Trump comes from the right.
Well, I don't care if it comes from the center or, you know, north, south. I mean, he tried to kill a former president. It doesn't matter his political leanings. It's terrible.
Do you believe now at this point, and we're still months away from the election, that it is already game, set and match to the Trump-Vance ticket?
No, I don't. I think it's going to be very, very, and I'm going to have to jump in a minute. It's going to be a very, very tight race. People vote on policies, and there are a lot of people out there that whether they know Joe Biden, I don't think he'll be the nominee in November, by the way. There's no way he will last. I've been saying this for a year, but there will be somebody, and there are a lot of people that like those leftist policies. I do believe Trump will win, but I don't believe it'll be a walk in the park, no.
Yeah. Who do you suspect might be a Democratic candidate?
I think they'll probably have to go with Kamala just so they can keep the money that's been donated. Otherwise, they have to give the hundreds of millions of dollars that have been donated to back to the donors.
And you would feel confident, based on what you said about J.D. Vance's ability to debate, that he would wipe the floor with Kamala Harris in a debate?
I assume that's a rhetorical question. We've all seen Kamala debate, so.
All right. Thank you very much, Jennifer. Thank you very much for joining us. Appreciate the conversation. Jennifer Ewing, spokesperson for Republicans Overseas.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.